Juliet Dogcast Radio. If you like dogs, wherever you are in the world, we're the show for you. Hello, Happy New Year, and welcome to episode 296 of Dogcast Radio. We all know our dogs and pets in general make our lives better. But today, we're going to focus on how pets teach us kindness. I'll be exploring this with author Kim Lengling, a veteran, a pet lover, and a podcaster too, with her podcast, Let Fear Bounce, tossing out nuggets of hope. She's also a fellow lover of canines and caffeine, so we had a lot in common and a lot of fun. Hi, Kim.
Hi, thank you for having me here today. I've been looking forward to this conversation.
Me too. It's a great conversation. Well, hopefully it's going to be a great conversation. It's a great subject. And you have written a book, 15 Ways Pets Teach Us Kindness. And they definitely do. And I'm really looking forward to this. So, but can we start by talking about your dog, Dexter?
Well, he's a goofball, as they all are. And he's also, you know, the bestest boy, as they all are.
Yeah.
Oh, bless. He's a rescue. I had, prior to him, his name was Digger. And I had him for 14 years. And we all know how hard it is to say goodbye. We know how crushing that is.
Yeah.
And I kept telling myself, I can't do this again. I just, this is the third time in my life. And it seems like it gets harder every time.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then a few months later, I just had this little whisper in my head, there's a dog out there that needs you.
Yeah.
And I was driving to work and I said, no, there's not.
Mm. Yeah.
And the whisper wouldn't go away. There's a dog out there that needs you. So I went, okay. And it was months. It was close to 6 months. And it was so horrible. You know how it is to walk in the door and the house is too quiet and there's no muddy footprints on, paw prints on the kitchen floor or snuff marks on the window. And or pieces of dog food in the couch cushions that they like to save and hide,
Yeah, and your shoes are still there.
That's right. They're all in the same place.
Yeah.
So I got online to our local Humane Society, which is a kill shelter. They do euthanize. Yeah. And so that's where I typically go because I want to be able to, save a little soul.
Yeah.
So I got on there online and there was only one dog and I went, what do you mean there's only one dog? This is really weird, but only one dog. So, and he was very interesting looking. He had a fawn body, completely black head, white toes, and one blue eye and one brown eye.
Oh, wow.
And I went, well, he is incredibly unique and he just might fit into my world perfectly.
Yes.
So I went and met him that night, and they put you in a little room and to meet each other. And he was very sickly, super skinny, very skittish, and just sat against the door with his forehead on the door.
Oh,
and I just went, he's completely shut down.
Mm.
And my heart just broke and I'm going, oh, he's probably going to come home with me. So I waited him out. I told myself, I'm not going to move. I'm not going to say anything. He has to choose me. That's all there is to it. So I sat on that cold cement gross floor and waited him out, and he finally came over and started sniffing a little bit, and then he'd go back to the door, and this went on for like 10 minutes, and then he finally came and sat beside me. He's like an 80-pound dog, so he's kind of a bigger dog. He sat beside me and leaned his entire body against me and put his chin on my shoulder, and I turned my head and that one piercing blue eye was looking up at me, and I went, oh, you're coming home with me, aren't you?
Oh,
so he chose me.
Yeah.
And that's how I got Dexter. And since then, after about 3 months, he settled.
Yeah.
I think he may have been abused.
Oh.
Because I train immediately. I start training immediately.
Mm.
And I train in German. And he was very smart and caught on very quickly. But he was also very sickly. So for probably 2 weeks, almost every hour on the hour, no matter the time of day, we were outside.
Yeah.
Because he had stomach issues and intestinal thing.
And
I'm like, what? Where were you at, buddy, before you came here? So it was a bumpy, physically bumpy journey for him the first few months. But then he just settled in. And then all of a sudden, this crazy personality came out.
Oh, he
and now he is a happy dog living his best life as my office manager.
Brilliant. Perfect. So why did you train in German?
Mac's husband was from Germany. And when we had Digger, we had gotten Digger together from the Humane Society. And he just said, let's train him in German because he's German. I said, oh, okay. And then I found as we were doing that over the years, they seem to, because of the, it's like harsh, harshness of the language. It's for me anyway, I think that the dog hears it and absorbs it quicker.
Yeah.
Because the words are a little harsher. So, and I would always joke and tell people, well, my dogs are bilingual. They're incredibly intelligent.
It does impress people. You could say anything. You could say Masbar or door, or as long as it's in context, the dog will go, oh, that means this, you know. Yeah. But it, is, it does impress people in a foreign language, really.
And also the other thing is no one else can mess with your dog.
Absolutely. I was thinking that. Nobody could tell them anything, could they? No.
Well, because your dog's not going to listen to them.
No, no. Absolutely.
Yeah. So, and I liked that aspect because then I end up getting divorced. So it was me and the dog. Yeah. And I'm like, well, there's, and he went with me everywhere. Digger did, went with me everywhere. And he was a big dog, very big.
Yeah.
And just his size alone would keep people at a distance.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
But then if I would speak in German, like telling to stay beside me or to sit, people, you know, they get looks on their face. And I felt no need to explain.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. Oh, wonderful. I like it. It's a good way to learn a language for people as well. So, yeah.
Indeed. Yes, it is. And that was also helpful to me to learn his language. Because, well, we were married. And so we would often say, you know, okay, at supper time, at dinner time, we're only speaking German. And you use the words that you know, but we're going to fumble through it. So that's how I learned, by training the dog and dinner time.
Yeah. Do you know, I think that's a brilliant way to learn it, because I was taught, I went to a grammar school and it was like drummed into you that you had to do it properly and you had to know the grammar and the right tense and the right, you know, words and all this. And it took me a long, long time as an adult going to France. And sort of, I had to say, such a silly thing to say, I couldn't say, no, I had to say to them, I can't find the swimming pool. Where's the swimming pool? And I couldn't remember all that. So I, in the end, I just said, nous avons perdu la piscine. We've lost the swimming pool. We've lost the swimming pool. They understood what I meant and they told me how to get there.
Right.
And once you understand, language is functional. You know, as long as you're understood, it doesn't matter if you say slightly wrong tense or wrong, you know, it's just being understood, isn't it? Yeah.
Well, and I found that when, because I went to Germany numerous times, you know, to visit with his family and such over the years. And I have found that they were very, like you said, understanding, because I tried at least. I at least tried to speak their language, even though it was like at a grade school level.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like a third or fourth grade level, I could make myself understood. Yeah. And the important things like, where is the bathroom?
Yeah.
Those are important things you need, you know, can I have some water, please?
Absolutely. Like, well, for me, it's un grand gâteau, s'il vous plaît. A big cake, if you please.
I took French in school, which, of course, in high school, way back in the day, you have a non-French speaking person teaching French.
Yeah.
I didn't learn it. The only thing I remember is le ciel est couvert. And I think that means there are clouds in the sky. I think that's literally all I remember, le ciel est couvert. And I think it means there's clouds in the sky. Yeah. So I couldn't go to France and get around easily at all.
No, no. Do you know, we will get back to dogs, but all I remember of Latin, I learned Latin very, very briefly. All I remember is da mihi osculum. And it means give me a kiss. When am I going to use that? Why did they teach me that?
In Latin.
So if I ever meet to me, you know, a Roman, I can say, da mihi osculum.
If you ever meet a Roman.
Yes, I know. Which is, you know, as you do down the supermarket.
As you do here in Pennsylvania.
Not too many here in Shropshire. Oh, dear. I don't know how we got to French and Latin.
I have no idea. Oh, because we trained dogs in German. That's why.
So there was a train of thought.
That's how we ended up in Rome.
Yes, all roads lead there.
That's right.
Oh dear, I knew this was going to be fun. So, again, let's try and drift back towards what we're here to do. So, how did the idea come to you of the book about how our pets teach us kindness?
Well, I've been coordinating anthologies for the last few years, and one is called Paw Prints on the Couch, And one is called Paw Prints on the Kitchen Floor. And it's just people coming together and sharing their stories. So I coordinated those, brought the people together in that. And all of the stories were all so personal. Yeah. And so there were so many lessons, because I firmly believe animals can teach us lessons every single day if you just listen and watch, you know, whether it's a dog or a deer out in the backyard. So I was doing in that process, in the back of my mind, I always have characters talking.
Yes. Yeah. Just walking around your head, rent free. I know.
Yes.
You, yeah.
And most times they're animals.
Yeah.
And it's been in my head for years and years since Digger, since my dog from, you know, years ago. I always had conversations with him and wrote them down. And there was always lessons, and put it on Facebook, and people absolutely loved it. Mm-hmm. And he had quite the following. It was amazing. And he always taught the dumb humans lessons, because if humans would just pay attention. And so that was, you know, the theme, and that's been in my head. And I'm like, well, and people are like, you got to turn those into a book. You got to do this, do that. And so that's where this book came to be. I thought, okay, I'm just going to dip my toe in it and make a small, easy to read ebook.
Yeah.
I'm going to put it out there and just say, see how I feel about it. Is it a bestseller, or will it ever be? No, but the right people are going to read it.
That's it, isn't it? Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And so I got it out there. And so that was actually, to me, that was a win. I'm like, all right, I got this small little ebook out there. 15 ways pets teach us kindness. There's so many more ways, but I decided to stick with the number 15 for some reason. And so I did that. But then after I put it out, pardon me, after I put it out, I was like, I was talking to a couple other people online, and one gentleman said, he goes, why don't you, he goes, it almost reads like a journal, because you have prompts in there and you have questions in there. And as soon as he said journal, I went, oh,
yeah,
what a neat idea. And so my, now with that book, I'm going to expand it. 15 ways pets teach us kindness. I'm going to expand it and maybe turn it into more of a journal type. It'll be a completely separate book. But so now I have all these ideas going on in my head. And then all of those sparked a completely new idea of a new book that I started writing. I put everything else aside, because that's how my brain goes.
Yes. Yeah.
And I have been diligently writing this other book, and it's, the whole book is, it's about kindness.
Yeah.
How pets, it's, this isn't the title, but it's, you know, pets teach us kindness because humans often forget.
Yes. Yeah,
you know, so that's like the theme of this book. And the whole book is nothing but from the animals and dog's point of view. The whole thing is the dog talking to all the animals in the realm, which is where I live, the realm. I consider my little plot of land the realm. And all of the animals that go through it, you know, are visiting the realm. And me, I'm the queen of the realm. And Dexter is, you know, the guardian of the realm. And he protects the perimeter. And so this is always in my head.
Yeah. Yeah.
And now all of a sudden, I have all these conversations of Dexter talking to the deer and the possum and the ringneck pheasant and the bear that comes through every once in a while.
Wow.
You know, and all these different, you know, and the coyotes at nighttime when they're yelling and howling like crazy. So every time I hear or see something else, I'll be like, oh, that's what Dexter and them would talk about.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's what my newest book is going to be about. I don't know when it's going to come out. I just started it. I'm having a really good time writing it, because it's super fun. The conversations that are going on up here.
Yeah. I love that though. When inspiration strikes just from something that's going on in your own house, your own backyard, and bang, you go, oh, that's, you know, I've had ideas for books come from just walking out into the back garden and it was really, really foggy and thinking, gosh, will I be able to find my way back? And I did. But then from that, I started saying to Mr. Dogcast, oh, what about this idea? And we talked about it a bit. And then by the end of the evening, we got the idea for a whole book. And I was like, wow, that was quick.
Isn't that awesome?
Yeah. Yeah.
Brilliant. I love that. When that when that spark happens.
Yes. Yeah.
Because you get all excited. You know, I'm like, I get all jittery and excited. I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't care what needs done in the house. We're getting to the computer. Yeah,
absolutely. Absolutely. Because the dirt will still be there, but the idea might just evaporate. Yeah, I've had that happen. Yeah. Yeah.
Me too. And I'll be like, oh my gosh, why didn't I write that down or speak it into my phone and save it as a recording?
Yeah. Yeah. Technology is wonderful. It's given us a lot of ways to, I'll record this on the way or in the car or whatever. It's brilliant. Saying that, what's your writing process like? So obviously, like you, I will think a lot while I'm doing other things, while I'm walking the dog or loading the dishwasher or whatever. But also then, when you're actually sitting down writing, sort of, is Dexter there asleep on your feet or what's going on?
You know, he used to be. Yeah. There's a chair right there. Mm. He used to curl up in that. He barely fit in it because he was too big for it. But he used to curl up in that. And then as time went on, I think he got tired of listening to me. And I even have like a little futon couch over here. I turned this bedroom into my office.
Yeah.
So I have a little futon couch if I ever just need to stop and go sit and read a book.
Yeah. Yeah.
So then he moved to that. And then he just one day did this huge sigh, walked out down the hall and into the bedroom. I heard him jump up on the bed. And that's where he now goes whenever I record, is on the bed.
Bless him. Do you know what he's saying? He's going, I've taught you everything I know. You're on your own now, mate.
Yeah. I'm tired of listening to you talk, woman.
Well, they say, don't they? Read your work out. And you often read it to the dog or cat, or, you know, because it's too embarrassing to read it for the first time to people. Often our dogs and cats get the first reading. And so, yeah, I guess they do. In the end, go, do you know what? Until you really get the hang of this, don't read any more to me.
And, you know, the funny, when I'm not doing this,
yeah,
he's right at me. Oh. He's right beside me or laying on my feet, whatever,
yeah,
if I'm not recording.
Oh,
it's bless. Funny. It's yeah, kind of comical.
Bless.
So I'm like, oh, he's just sick of hearing me talk.
So can you tell me one or two of the stories in the book? You know, how do animals, I mean, most of us will know this, but how do you think animals teach us kindness?
The main thing I think that always stands out to me so prevalently is patience. Because yeah, a dog or a pet, an animal, what have you, if you're caring for that animal, taking care of that animal, they spend their entire life waiting on you.
Yes. Yeah.
Even if you've left for 5 minutes and you come back and they act like this is the best day on the planet, you know, oh my gosh, it's never been better because they're so excited to see you. Yeah. They spend their entire life waiting on you.
Yeah.
And when that thought came into my head, I just went, wow, wow. Those yeah, beautiful little souls are so patient. And yes, that was just very powerful to me when that thought came to me. And I, you know, that stuck with me.
Yeah.
And I'm very thankful and blessed because of that. And I'm thinking, yes, okay, I can't take this for granted.
Yeah.
This unconditional love and this patience that they show me, and they rely on me for absolutely everything.
Yeah.
I can't take this for granted. And so then I pay closer attention to, you know, oh, he's making more noise today. You know, do his hips hurt? What's going on with my buddy today? You yeah, know, things like that. So once you get your mindset like that, that you're watching for it, their clues and cues. And I mean, because they talk to you, you just go,
oh, absolutely.
Listen.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
You know, and they show you in innumerable ways how much they care. But patience to me seems to be the biggest lesson that yeah, they teach us, as long as your eyes are open and you're willing to learn it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you're right. Because how many times I'm constantly saying to them, just a minute, I'll just do this. I'm just going to, you know, she wants to go out or she wants lunch or whatever it is. I'll just do this. And yeah, she just, I mean, they don't have a choice, but they do just sit and wait. And okay.
Yeah.
Whereas if you say that to a person, yeah, they do. Whereas if you say that to a person, it's like, oh, come on, hurry up. I've got to get this done. Hurry up. You know, and you do get, so they do just give us the space and go, okay, I'll take what you can give me and I'll wait. And that is,
yeah,
it is a gift.
Yeah. And it's, you know, it's almost like they're saying to you, you know, whenever you're good, I'm ready, because every minute that we get to spend together is awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and if you look at the world through a dog's eyes, try and do that. It changes your whole perspective on how you see things.
Yeah. Yeah.
So patience to me is a big main lesson.
Yeah. Yeah. I definitely think they see strangers differently. And I know dogs can be suspicious, but of people, I mean, suspicious of people. But in general, I'm thinking of my Labrador here, but everybody was just a friend he hadn't met yet. Genuine. I know that's a cliche, but he was just like, you know, I want to meet everybody. And so many people would walk away going, that dog really liked me. And you think, well, he does. He did really like you, but don't take it personally. But, you know, that's rather than sort of, oh, what's bad out there waiting for me? It was very much a, what's good out there waiting for me? Let's go and find out. And that's, you know, another, a better philosophy than I can often muster some days.
Yeah, exactly. So, I think we need to take more cues from our dogs.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
I think I prefer dogs most times over humans. And
yes. Yeah.
You know, that's just the way it is. And they are also smarter. I think they're smarter. Their instincts are smarter. It just comes to them naturally. Like, this is a person I don't want to be around.
Yes.
And I don't think that my human should be around this person either.
Yeah.
You know, I trust my dog's instincts.
Yeah.
When if we're out and about. And I have for my other dog, Digger, too. Very, very smart that way. Very intuitive. And I follow it. Mm-hmm. If they stop and they're like all of a sudden, big boy. Yeah. I'm like, okay, we're going to turn and walk the other way.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, or get ready. You know what I mean?
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
But yeah, patience is a big one. And also, I don't know the right word for. Okay. So I live with PTSD.
Yeah.
And there was a time in my life where anxiety just overrode my days.
Oh.
And it was very tough.
Yeah.
And this is when I had Digger with me. He's not a service dog. He wasn't trained to be a service dog or anything like that. He just intuitively knew. So yes. I often would describe it as, I can feel it creeping. I can feel the anxiety. It's creeping up. It's sneaking in.
Yeah.
And sometimes I could battle it down and sometimes I couldn't. Yeah. And I'd be hyperventilating and sweating and clenching my jaws. It's not fun. It's really not fun. Anybody who's had panic attacks knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And Digger would oftentimes, before I even realized something was sneaking up, he would come up and he was a big dog, 105 pounds.
Yeah.
He would come up and start nudging me with his head, nudging me in the thigh. And I'd be like, what are you doing, buddy? You know, because I'm like, you know. And then I realized, once I realized, he was, you know, hey, my focus shifted.
Yes. Yeah.
And it was nothing but love coming off of him.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, and then I could breathe.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
and
he was like, I know everybody, if you're a dog lover or pet animal lover, you have many animals throughout your lifetime, but there's always that one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Digger was that one for me.
Yeah.
Now, Dexter, it took him a little longer and he's a different dog and a different personality. And I don't have that happening like I did years ago. That was, you know, it's so often.
Yeah. Yeah.
But every once in a while, he'll come up and do the same thing. I'm like, are you channeling Digger?
Yeah.
You know? And he'll do the same thing. And then I give myself a check. I'll be like,
yeah.
Do I feel edgy? Yeah, I do. Wow. Yeah. Dexter, look at you.
Oh.
So he just instinctively does that. So it's that that instinct to care.
Yeah. Yeah.
That they can just, you know, and protect and take care of your human.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, that's another, I think, lesson we need to learn and to really be appreciative of. I was diagnosed about 4 years ago with a uncommon form of diabetes.
Yeah.
Not many people have it. It completely changed my life. I was super sick. No one could figure out for over a year. Then they said, you have this rare form. I'm like, well, fantastic. So my sugar would drop dramatically, almost to the point where I was going to pass out.
Wow.
And I was asking, you know, I was trying to get the sensor, you know, that you can get those sensors in your arm and it goes through your phone. Well, I kept being denied and denied and denied. And I was like, this is stupid. I could die in my sleep.
Yeah.
You know, and then one night, Dexter was in the bed just shoving me.
Yeah.
And in my face and shoving me. And I finally woke up and I was dripping sweat. I was shaking and I realized my sugar was dangerously low.
Wow.
And I went and did the finger prick and it was like 44.
Wow.
Supposed to be like 90.
Yeah.
It was so low. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm going to pass out. But he woke me up.
Yeah.
He saved me that night.
Definitely.
And then I called my doctor, kind of lost my mind on
tempo,
the doctor.
Yes.
Yeah. Because they kept saying, as long as you're able to stick your own finger, you don't need that. So I was freaking out saying, I can't stick my finger if I'm sleeping.
Absolutely.
Crikey. So then they, you know, within 20 minutes, they called me back and I was approved.
Wow.
Interesting. Wow. But that's another way that dogs are right there.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and there's all kinds of dogs for PTSD and for veterans and for diabetes. Dogs are trained for diabetes. Dogs are trained to sniff out drugs. Dogs are amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. They
amazingly
are.
Smart.
Yeah. Yeah. And they don't seem to mind one being focused on us. You know, we sort of humans, I want to be the star of the show. Thank you. I don't want to be focused on somebody else. I wanted to be, you know, I'm the main character. But so, and also they don't mind sort of working or having to think a lot of the time. In fact, it seems to be a good situation for them, doesn't it?
I think most dogs need a job.
Yes. Yeah.
And there are certain breeds that definitely need a job.
Yes.
They would be miserable dogs, miserable animals. Like a sheepdog, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
You cannot keep those as little lap dogs in the house.
No, no.
You absolutely. Know? And to me, larger dogs, not all of them, but the type I've had, they need that running time. They need that outdoor time. And so do I. That's the other thing that pets, I think, teach us. They keep you moving.
Yes. Yeah.
So no matter if you're having a bad day and you're like, I just want to curl up on the couch, put on Netflix and watch, you know, mindless television, but you have a dog, that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Because the dog's going to be like, hey, I want to go outside. Let's go. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? And so I listen to that always.
Yeah.
Always.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And I walk miles with my dog every day. We go between 4 and 4.5 miles every day.
Yeah. And it's so good for you.
All the time.
Yeah. So good for you and so good for him. It's good situation, isn't it? Yeah.
Mental and physical. It's good for, not only the human, but for the dogs as well, because then they're healthy and happy too.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And that kind of just rambling walk and having a good sniff and checking in and everything. It's just, you know, that's, it's what they
want. And let them sniff.
Happy. Yeah.
Don't yank on them. Let them sniff.
Yeah.
That's why I have to, sometimes, I don't know if you've ever found yourself, you're out walking or something and you're like, oh, come on, let's go. And then when I find myself doing that, I'll be like, Kim, stop it. This is his time.
Yeah. Yeah. It's easy to do.
He waits all day. He waits all day for this.
Yeah, yeah. I go, come on, we can't sniff everything. And then you kind of think, why not?
Why not?
As you say, it's their time. You know, let them have a sniff. Yeah, yeah.
And whenever they're sniffing, it's like they're reading a book. They're learning.
Yeah.
Who just came through here?
Yeah. Catching up on the daily.
Or what?
All the posts. All the posts they've got to check up. Literally.
Right.
Oh, brilliant. As ever, I've got one eye on the time. It's been fantastic talking to you. And the book sounds amazing. And the stories in it, I'm sure, are, you know, brilliant. And I often find myself saying, thank goodness for dogs. It could be thank goodness for pets, but thank goodness for dogs, because people will drive you mad, you know, and they're a sanctuary, aren't they, pets?
Yes. Oh, yes. Yeah. Yeah. And like I said earlier, I often prefer my dog over humans.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, often. When your social batteries are depleted and you think, no, I just want to be around the dog now. I don't have to talk. I don't have to think particularly. I just want to be at the moment. And that's.
Yep. Yeah. I get to that and I'm like, let's go for a walk.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, definitely. We just get outside no matter the weather, just bundle up and go.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank goodness for dogs. Kim, let's make when you've got your next book out, let's make another appointment and let's talk again, because it's been great. Yeah. I really want to see that. Is there anything else that you'd like to say?
No. Hey, just check out the books. They're on Amazon if you feel so inclined to check it out and find out what Dexter has to teach you. And if you want to know anything more about me or what's going on and what's coming up, you can get on my website, which is just kimlanglingauthor.com. Everything's there. It's kind of like a one-stop shop.
Super. We will put that link in the show notes. And are you on social media as well?
I am on social media, and I also have a podcast called Let Fear Bounce. So you can check that out. That's on YouTube.
Excellent. We will put all those links in the show notes. And thank you very much. Give Dexter a fuss from me or away from me, whatever he'd prefer. And thank you ever so much.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Cheers. And you. Huge thanks to Kim for sharing her experiences and ideas with me. I knew I'd be speaking to Kim again, but I didn't expect it to be quite so soon. But you can hear her interviewing me on her podcast, Let Fear Bounce. I'll put the link to that, as well as all the links you need to find out more about Kim, in the show notes at dogcastradio.com. You're listening to Dogcast Radio on www.dogcastradio.com. We love to see friends of the show doing well, so I'm delighted to say congratulations to Rachel Rogers, who is starting the new year with yet another award, having been named Best Dog Behaviour and Enrichment Services 2025 at the SME News Awards. The award recognises Nose to Trail's commitment to ethical, evidence-based training and enrichment, supporting both dogs and their people through thoughtful, welfare-led approaches. Rachel, founder of Nose to Trail, said, "Winning the award over the Christmas period makes the recognition particularly meaningful, reflecting a year of hard work, collaboration and continued dedication to improving canine well-being across the region." She continued, "As an accredited canine school of trailing instructor, it's fantastic to see the upcoming dog sport of man trailing and the lesser known pet trailing that we specialise in being recognised for how truly enriching they are for dogs. Dogs are designed to sniff, and giving them an outlet for this natural behaviour can be the solution for many behaviour problems." Awards coordinator Melissa Bramall shared her thoughts on the success of the 2025 winners. "The past 12 to 24 months have been filled with ups and downs, opportunities and challenges, and the peaks and troughs that come with business, no matter what industry you're in. But our awardees continue to stand tall, whether they're taking their first steps or they're a long-standing and seasoned enterprise. Our winners are all making waves for those around them. It's a pleasure to be part of your story of success." To find out more about these prestigious awards and the dedicated enterprises that have been selected for them, visit smenews.digital/awards/northernenterprise-awards/, where you can view the full winners list. If your New Year's resolution is to take up a new activity with your dog, trailing could be it. It's very good mental enrichment and makes your dog feel really good. Plus, it doesn't stress or strain your dog's body, so younger and older dogs can enjoy it too. If you're already a fan of nose work of any kind, let us know. Send us some photos and or videos, and I'd love to share that with everybody else and celebrate how good nose work is for your dog. Talking of noses, new research from the Royal Veterinary College, RVC, has revealed divided public attitudes in the UK towards crossbreeding flat-faced brachycephalic dogs. The UK public disagrees on whether crossbreeding improves or worsens the health, appearance and temperament of flat-faced dogs, with preferences relating to cute appearances and companionship often outweighing health concerns when owners decide which dog to acquire. These RVC findings provide novel and important insights into the beliefs of the UK public that can help address the ongoing serious dog welfare issues linked to breeding for extreme conformation and low genetic diversity in popular purebred flat-faced breeds. Flat-faced dog breeds such as pugs, French bulldogs and English bulldogs have become increasingly popular in the UK, with many owners drawn to their distinctive flat-faced, bulging-eyed, folded skin and large-headed appearance. However, growing evidence shows that these extreme and unnatural body conformations are associated with severe, lifelong health and welfare problems, including breathing difficulties, eye and skin disease, spinal disorders, and shortened lifespans. In response to the international flat-faced dog crisis, crossbreeding is being explored in countries such as Finland to reduce extreme traits and support reduced health issues and suffering in future flat-faced dogs if owners continue to demand these dog types. However, to ensure there will be meaningful health and welfare gains for these new dogs, further evidence is needed to understand the health outcomes with this approach, with current and planned RVC research exploring the health outcomes from crossbreeding flat-faced dogs. In addition, data exploring public attitudes towards crossbreeding is essential to determine if this approach is likely to be accepted and embraced as a new normal for dog breeding. RVC research, funded by the RSPCA, Animal Welfare Foundation and Blue Cross, was therefore conducted by Dr. Rowena Packer, Senior Lecturer in Companion Animal Behaviour and Welfare Science, Dr. Dan O'Neill, Professor of Companion Animal Epidemiology, Master Student Elizabeth Ewens, and their research team to find out more about the public's perception of crossbreeding. This included a national online survey of 4,899 members of the UK public who were current and former dog owners, prospective owners or non-owners, which examined their views on crossbreeding between brachycephalic and non-brachycephalic dogs, as well as wider attitudes to crossbreeding between non-brachycephalic breeds. For example, a cockapoo as a cross between a cocker spaniel and a poodle. the findings revealed that the wider UK public holds divided attitudes towards crossbreeding brachycephalic dogs. Improved health was the most commonly perceived benefit of crossbreeding, cited by 43% of non-brachycephalic crossbreed dog owners, 37.2% of non-brachycephalic purebred owners, 42.5% of brachycephalic crossbreed owners, and 33.2% of owners of purebred brachycephalic dogs. Expected health gains were cited as relating to breathing, alongside less extreme facial conformation and fewer skin, eye and dental problems. Existing owners of crossbreed brachycephalic dogs were most likely to state that crossbreeding results in better temperament and improved appearance as positive reasons for crossbreeding compared to other ownership groups. Less commonly perceived benefits across all ownership groups included improved longevity and increased genetic diversity. You can read the full findings of this RVC research at the Dogcast Radio site, dogcastradio.com. If you're looking to make 2026 a happy, healthy year for you and your dog, then Acme Kennels has the advice you need. With the new year getting into its stride, dog owners are being encouraged to make resolutions that last and will enhance their pets' lives in 2026. To truly improve dogs' lives this year, the responsibility lies with their owners to set the right resolutions, so the Acme Kennels training specialists have shared what they should include. From walks and training to playtime and diet, dogs rely on their owners for almost everything, so setting resolutions around their care can make 2026 healthier and happier for pets. Owners can enhance their dogs' lives by making simple commitments to do a little extra each day, whether that's taking longer walks, adding more playtime for mental stimulation, or giving extra attention. Also, deciding to avoid certain things like overfeeding or skipping training sessions can prevent health and behaviour problems. Ben McFarlane, an expert from Acme Kennels, said, "Making New Year's resolutions for your dog is a great way to enhance their well-being in 2026 because, just like us, dogs thrive on consistency and attention. Simple changes like extending daily walks, introducing new training routines, and offering more mental stimulation through play can transform their lives for the better. Equally important is avoiding spoiling your pet or skipping essential training, both of which can prevent future health or behavioural issues. By setting achievable goals for your dog's care, you're not only improving their quality of life, but strengthening your bond with them for the year ahead." So here are the top tips. Make time for play every day. Making daily playtime a New Year's resolution boosts a dog's health and happiness. Simple games like tug, chase or hide-and-seek provide exercise and mental stimulation, while regular play also strengthens the bond between dogs and their owners. Be consistent all year round. One of the most valuable New Year's resolutions for dog owners is committing to consistency. Sticking to regular walks, feeding times and training throughout 2026, avoiding overfeeding or skipping sessions, helps prevent health and behavioural problems, giving dogs the structure they need to feel secure and happy long term. Commit to ongoing training. The new year is a great time for dog owners to make training a priority. Try to set aside 10 to 15 minutes a day for short, consistent sessions to keep your dog engaged, mentally stimulated, and well-behaved. Focus on mastering a new command, reinforcing essentials like recall, sit, or stay, or exploring techniques such as whistle training to improve communication and safety. Cut out human snacks. A common New Year's resolution is eating healthier, and this should also extend to your dog. Feeding human food from the plate can harm their health and encourage bad habits. Foods like chocolate, ice cream, and fatty leftovers are unsafe, so sticking to dog-safe, balanced food supports better behaviour and well-being year-round. Prioritise walks in the new year. Aim for regular walks to support your dog's physical health, mental stimulation, and overall well-being. Different dogs have different exercise needs, so adjust the duration and intensity to suit your dog's age, breed, and fitness. Varying routes and pace keeps walks engaging and helps maintain a healthy, balanced lifestyle for both dog and owner. Spend more time together. With busy work and daily routines, it's easy to overlook simple moments with your dog. It may sound simple, but spending time together through walks, play, training, or cuddles keeps your dog happy, mentally stimulated, and relaxed. These shared moments also reduce stress and improve well-being for you and your pet. For more information and training tips, visit Acme Kennels. So there you go, you know how to start the year right. And to continue the year right, keep listening to Dogcast Radio. We'll be back next time with more exciting content, including an interview with Patricia McConnell. Oh yeah, See you next time. And until then, look after yourselves and your dogs.
Thanks for listening to Dogcast Radio, available from www.dogcastradio.com. That's dogcastradio.com. If you'd like to get in touch with us, and wherever you are in the world, we'd love to hear from you. You can do so in a variety of ways. You can contact us on Skype with the ident Dogcast Radio. That's all one word, Dogcast Radio. By email, you can contact me on julie@dogcastradio.com. When contacting us by email, if you have the facilities, please record your questions or comments and send them to us as an audio file. That way we can include them directly in our programme. We can accept most formats, for example, WAV, MP3. All these methods of contacting us can be found on our website, which is www.dogcastradio.com.
What is a dog's favourite action movie? Raiders of the Lost Ark.